amendments or corrections, additions or questions on the minutes of the May 4th meeting? Hearing none, if there's no objection, by unanimous consent, accept the minutes as presented. No objection, the minutes are accepted. Agenda, I'm going to assume to be accepted as well. Now, I'll say at some point here, we may want to move up the last item, but I'm really hoping we'll have as many people as we're going to have before we do it. We have people that are speaking, so you should hear what they have to say. Mr. Cox? I believe that is part of the presentation.
And you will actually get to touch it.
That would hate to have members arrive late and miss part of it. We will go to action items. Item 2A is the approval of the project development program.
Good morning. Thank you very much. Before I turn over to Mr. Sopias to bring up the project development plan, I also do want to comment on the sad loss to the retirement of our notes picture. Myself, the all too close of the near future.
After how many years of service?
32 years. I guess. I tried to explain to her that the power vested in me as interim general manager, I required her to find a replacement for me. We're still negotiating the terms.
Good morning. The first item is the project development program for fiscal year 07, and that's where Thomas and Matt are here to take it through.
Actually, I'm going to turn it over to Nat, Mr. Chairman, but I just wanted to remind the board that last year we refocused the project development program, put a lot of emphasis on station area planning. We've been out and about talking to the jurisdictions about that area and really starting to put a lot more focus on the community planning aspects of it. But Nat will kind of take you through some of our accomplishments in 06 and as well the proposal set.
It's a fairly brief presentation. A couple of points that I wanted to make. One is that historically it's been pretty much an 18-month program. And if you take a look at that, we had the 05 program here, which just demonstrates that every element of that was completed. And by the middle of 06, we haven't completed, we're expecting to be completed by December this year. And 07, we'd expect pretty much the same thing. Period of negotiation with local jurisdictions for planning up the process of the second is hopefully 07 will be a little bit less than 18 months ago, and we're very glad to have been set to the staff for the first time and we've had very excited about that, very excited to take on. The broad outline of the 07 project development program is very similar to 06 of the station access project, planning project, and barter project. And added to that some regional modeling and forecasting elements respond to the our ability to forecast risk and also to begin thinking specifically about cost benefit for a capital program project. And making sure we understand what the benefits would be of the capital project that is the 07 project with all the jurisdictions to comment on and both reflect those. So I think at this point, I guess maybe the only thing I'd like to do at this point is just comment on something. I think it's kind of something we'll put out of, which is the publication of the development related riders survey, which is an update of 1989. Survey that looked at transit use by land use type and by location in the region. And this is something that has been shared with the JCC. Got a couple of compliments. Report is being used in local jurisdictions by planners, by academics, by developers, and by ourselves in terms of helping understand what kinds of consultants getting generating wide support and what is valuable kind of topics. So that's I'm sorry, I don't recall. Have we gotten a copy of the one from the JCC? It has not gone to the board yet. Have been fine. Okay. And the second question, can you give me some kind of idea on the attachment one in the package on the 06 project development? For the most part, winding down our into December. And so I'm not sure if picking on somebody else. Let's just deal with the Maryland project. $560,000 to develop the patient vision plan. What do they look like?
Well, the direction you see after, but these are these types of products. These are, there wasn't, they were placeholders. These were not specific requests.
Have we done any of them?
We spent most of the quarter study. I don't know about it. Let me ask you. We've been doing a study of city growth station access and movement at capacity of our escalators, memory, and growth. So that is not something that has been posted to the station access and adequacy facilities. For Glenmont, we've been doing the parking. Branch Avenue, that is a project that has been delayed, unfortunately, from issues and then audit of those contractors that contractor has been prosecuted for the basically, the project there is to create a development envelope within which future can, we think, will be efficiently located.
Well, let me just say, Mr. Chairman, you're actually more involved in the detail than I am. Vision in the world, and I'm in the building. So, but the individual things that you just mentioned seem to be talking about pieces of projects or projects, and just somehow or another, having looked at this title, or not what I would have construed to be the station vision plan for these stations.
Yeah. It's there, Smith, if I could just clarify just a little bit. This particular group, if you recall, as we defined the station area and access planning program, we had four categories. One, there were stations where there were development issues that the community had, either with our joint development program or plans for joint development, and that we wanted to get ahead, work with the community to try to figure out what were their plans, you know, sector plans, other kinds of plans around the facilities. And then we would work with them to bring forward joint development proposals. We might have a specific option, and we would take our option and we would work with the jurisdictions to figure out some other options, and then we'd go through this vision planning process. And the result would be a plan, for the most part, for future development of the station that would be based on a consensus between us and the community. That sort of was the idea for the vision planning station. There were some issues. We were working with the issues, and the message was we're going to get ahead of the issues in working out these plans. So that's what was in mind. There is a typo there, I should point out. Chevrolet was dropped, and in its place, it's Largo Town Center. There are two stations that we actually have been working with very closely with in this category. Largo Town Center, we had a community meeting. All of the developers around the station that had proposals on the table, the Economic Development Department, the Planning Department, from the state side, and we had similar sorts of meetings on the Franconia side. So we've kind of started the process, but it really is to allow us to work with the community in developing the planning station.
Okay, let me try again. So we've got just over $500,000 to create a vision for these stations, and we've had a couple meetings, is that right? Has any product come out of those meetings? Right.
Other than the fact that we're assigning money for piecemeal projects to do an escalator here and something else there,
I mean, to me, doing an escalator or a station or a piece of this piece of that is not a vision. What do you call this thing? Not a vision plan. I mean, a vision plan to me is something. Okay, what's happening in the future? What's this station look like in the future as a whole? Not
we took care of an escalator. Which you just said a minute ago was correct. Okay, but that having been correct, we're talking about we've held a few meetings with a few county agencies possibly. And what is the end result? Do we have a vision plan? Do we have a vision plan for any of these stations?
No. Okay. How much of the $560,000 have we spent? A small amount.
We have.
How about in the other jurisdictions and their projects? Because we have similar. Okay, theirs are different. I mean, granted, in Virginia, you're talking about station area access planning, so you have a more narrow focus on issues dealing with stations. You're dealing specifically with access. District of Columbia, same thing, although we have a couple vision plans.
We're doing Virginia ones too, actually. You're showing a subset of area access. Now, it's your best. I don't understand what you're talking about. But I do understand what it is we're doing in the case of these.
I understand the concept of what it is we think we're doing. I'm not understanding what the output is that we call what products we're getting in.
I think
what's tangible out of it?
The right is and it remains to be benefit because we frankly did not begin a lot of these questions of the technical prayers. We've been spending time working with communities to find the socially. So part of what's been happening in the last few months is working with the association. One thing but perhaps with this sort of business idea, they emphasized they wanted a larger. They were looking for a strategy to implement the plan that they already have in place. And that situation, they're getting a lot of intervention. On the site, stop and get off our property to help that limit the opposition to the map and take your metro out to and then walking to the site in that area. So,
it's part of the problem is the metro draw here is somewhat evolving. You know, until very recently, metro basically wasn't off the agenda. Oddly enough, it's been criticized recently. For how come Metro isn't doing stuff to plan around the state? Part of the issue is that there's other people responsible for planning around the state. The question is whether we're welcome to be part of the new atmosphere in a lot of places that says, yeah, we'd actually like to work with Metro. But the specific way in which it plays out depends on the specific jurisdiction, how it's structured, and also on what planning may or may not have been done already there, and then on what needs they have. So you have to build something different. For example,
an appropriate additional column on this chart might have been what was actually spent.
That was what I was actually going to say. I think really the way you would leave your concern was meant to be if we showed expenditure and you could actually see how much had yet to be spent.
Right, but I mean, I'm seeing
had
here,
not been,
at the end of the fiscal year, effectively, looking at numbers and wondering what came out of it and kind of reaching for what came out of it.
when you want it with the delivery. I think that's a fair question. And I think normally what I said is, well, show us what you've delivered in the past. The difficulty is that might not be a very good indication today of what's going on in the law of this thing. But I think you can give some idea. And again, my next up here is specifically about what we're trying to do in the small church, which isn't necessarily directly of interest to you, but, you know, we understand what we're trying to accomplish there, and I have an idea what the delivery is going to be there. But it might not be the same thing that you want in your situation. But perhaps there's some way staff could give, you know, in summary indication of what it is you expect to be delivered, at least for those in which it's already defined in conversation.
From my background, and I don't mean it, you know, to try to turn it, but I would like to see the price paper with the nice markers on it that show what the vision is. Graph, you know, some graph. What that vision is.
And there are some of those things that have been done in the past that the people don't think of the ones that we have. You can find your own
arm. I'm sure they do. I'm worried about the ones that were done in 06. We're not done. Thank
maybe
you.
We get some follow-up information. Ms. Crawford.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to give an example of some of the effort to take the vision thing and make it more specific, I wanted to thank Nat for the time he put in here recently for the Urban Land Institute study of reinventing Springfield. This is going to be a huge project, not only in the immediate area, but perhaps for the whole county, since there's finally a couple just about survived the mixing bowl project. That part of Fairfax is ready to take off in a positive way. And the Franconia Springfield Station. We've had a planning for developers all say, well, we'll have a shuttle bus, but pretty soon you have a box a shuttle bus. So, if here at the end, the shuttle buses arrive with the system, we can absorb this initial ride of trip and get vehicles flow and people flow to the station. Amazingly enough, one of the first things we in Fairfax found is that the police system. Because pedestrians are important in getting the things in walk. So we're learning.
Thank you.
I just had one question for clarity, because we have the two attachments, 1 and 2, which reflect the 06 and 07 program. Is there any relationship to the numbers we see about what was expected or has been completed in the funding versus what is the estimated budget for 07? That is, basically the actual versus the budget 06 versus the proposed or estimated budget of 07. Is there anything that flows out of 06? Yeah.
You didn't spend all the money on 06.
No, we did. There is a carryover amount. If you recall, Matt mentioned there's an 18-month, that really is an 18-month effort. It's sort of the way the money works. We get the money quarterly. So we can't, in the past, we didn't order all of the work in the year that the funds were approved because the jurisdictions provide the money quarterly. So we have to build up a sufficient amount of money to actually charge the consultants to do the work. We have been working with our financial management division to try to figure out how to manage the cash flow a lot more effectively so we can make this effort. We can get the work started earlier. We're going to work on that in 07. So in 07, we shouldn't have as much carryover. But we will give you a better picture of exactly what we've expended and what the deliverables have been.
I just hope that the understanding that you've given, and we're in the same place there, that we have projects for 06, and there's an obvious carryover. We have same and some new projects for 07, and how do the dollars that's what I'm about to follow this through.
I can say that sometimes, if we have additional scope on projects, we would add funds in 07 to add to unexpended funds in 06, but that's in response to an expansion of scope. I mean, we're doing a composite like that right now. It started off with much more limited traffic study kind of focus, and now it's evolving into a little bit more plan update focus, and so we're updating the funding to add to what wasn't spent in 06. But it is intended to be what is identified in those six projects. It's not.
There's the money is still associated with cottage.
I think this is one part of the capital program. Full expectation of the project.
And I apologize for citing the Commonwealth here, but it's the only one that I have the terminology is direct. Okay, on attachment one, FY06, Fairfax County. And I think these are all local funds, right?
These are funds that are allocated by jurisdiction.
Right, by jurisdiction, yeah, so it's... But for instance, the way this is laid out, Fairfax County, $216,558. We've got a station area access planning for Vienna Station and then Franklin to Springfield Station. And then you flip to attachment two, FY07, station area access planning, Fairfax County, Vienna Station, Franklin to Springfield Station. I can accept that it's potentially an ongoing project. What I'm interested in knowing is, the $136,910 in that number?
In addition to.
Is that the follow-on, or is that added on to the previous $260,000? That's added on, that's not the carryover.
New funding.
New funding.
And they haven't necessarily spent it on that.
But we've got new coming.
That's right.
And that's maybe a scope extension or something.
It is important to remember, these funds are allocated to jurisdiction by form. And then the agency is working directly with people in the jurisdiction, presumably your staff, to go over how it's being done. So I don't know what the heck we're doing in Maryland, but I assume that you guys can figure that out. But I do know what's going on in the ones in my jurisdiction because our staff people are directly. I happen to even know how much is being carried. Obviously, you know, it's something you want to be able to keep track of, but we tended not to do that, you know, as closely on this level because you know, we can ask them for a full accounting of all that, but I tend to do that in my jurisdiction because, again, you get the money you get. I'm not going to worry about how you spend it.
I'm just trying to understand the terminology from one page. It's nothing to do with the second Kentucky governor, as far as I'm concerned. I'm just trying to figure out how to think.
Sure. Okay. Further questions?
I noticed you've taken AAA station off and then FYO station replacing the Fargo Town Center. But Chevrolet didn't appear in those cells. Is Chevrolet disadvantaged from the place of the
I guess what I would say is we haven't kind of jurisdictional momentum for doing something. So we could reallocate funds again as we have reallocated the Fargo because we've been there. Haven't managed to make it to one.
The reason I mention it is maybe my colleague, Mr. Sullivan, can help. I know it's two projects in the point of view. We're hoping two people want to do projects. Maybe that's the space we're going to be looking at.
In addition to Barbara, yeah. Further questions? Anything further, Mr. Barber? No. And the recommendation is, we seem not to have any form of presentation, but want to summarize the recommendation.
The recommendation is that we prepare with our program to vote on
we actually have a post resolution in the material. But I guess the attachment should go on here. Motion to forward the resolution on to the board of recommendations. Is there a second?
Second.
Second one to be in discussion. please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Item two, telephone switch replacement. I think I read about this in the newspaper. Metro wants to spend $6 million to replace telephones. Did you guys know this? Yesterday,
they
informed.
I didn't read that article.
Like a dirt on the 4th of July.
It was in one of your meetings.
Okay.
There was people. Not at this time.
Chairman, the matter of the production of present telephone system is more than 35 years old. Has exceeded its useful life and it's time to consider replacing. The staff will take the pool today. Technical evaluation will be how people was to move on with the
As Mr. Safayas has said, we've got, in addition to the 25, it also represents a simple. It's difficult getting it worked at this point. The original manufacturer no longer supports continuing maintenance. So it's time to do away with the 25-year-old technology and take us to the next level. Sarge will walk you through the decision process that we went. In the evaluation of three different technologies, and concluding the recommended
point. We were researching as to what the best system that we can have for our next telephone system, and we went over all the points that we wanted to cover. That is, the system will be reliable, the system will have, will address all our functional needs that we have right now, the system will be less expensive to maintain, the system will be technologically advanced, and the system will be capable of voice over internet protocol, isolation. So having done that, we noticed that the hybrid system, which is a combination of digital and voice over IP telephone system, is cost effective, has many advantages in terms of reliability, in terms of functionality. Right now we have about 7,000 phones, and we have a mixture of different phones. So we will make sure that we keep our plan that we have, telephone plan, intact, and have digital phones that are less cost per maintenance, and they're very reliable. The reliability is in 99.99% range. Failure rates are known to be 1 in 35, 36 years. The system is capable of expanding. We are spending, let's say, a certain amount of money now because our system is 25 years old. And we cannot do anything to it. We cannot expand it. It's not expandable. So when we go to the hybrid system, let's say 20 years from now, if we wanted to expand it, don't have to have a big change. We will spend the system that we have with minimal cost and be able to address our needs.
That's it. The item here is from the IRP, and it's just to be funded. And it says the line item contains $24,426,000. And I guess that's over the period of time we're talking about.
That's
intent, so it's funding for four different fiscal years. What is the line item? That's that 24 million.
It's the above it says HTC power system replacement. It's a roll up of several different system projects.
HTC is automatic transit.
That's correct.
Wouldn't have guessed that the telephones in the building would be part of automatic train control.
But a lot, it's not specific automatic train control. What happens within the budget is a lot of the items, there are specific breakdowns. One is train control, one is communications, another one is high voltage power, and they're rolled up into one composite. I mean, this is one of the rolls.
was there a line for communications, for instance, under this overlay?
There's one, yes, there is a line.
And is there $17 million in that line, specifically for communication?
There's more than $17 million.
So the whole thing is $24 million, and more than 17 of it is for things like communications. So not very much of it is ATC and power systems?
The power systems that's in this particular roll-up is a very small component. It's some AC items. It doesn't include the traction power. And the traction power is the area that we're making the biggest investment.
That's in another line.
That's in another line.
It just seems funny that there would be a title and a line for a bunch of $24 million called ATC and power systems replacement. It's the majority of the funding for something else. Communications.
It's just the name of the supply. It's not a long descriptor.
Let me different. In the construction of the IRP, was it envisioned that this amount of resource would be allocated for this purpose? Or are you now finding this need and reallocating funds from what might have been spent on other things?
If the IRP is going to pay each different type of equipment and not its own specific life cycle.
The replacement cycle.
It's like it's a replacement cycle. That's the way that the entire 25-year program is put together. So there are components in it for everything from the train control, the phones, the traction power, everything based upon life of it.
Is this particular request that you're making now reflective of what the previous expectation was? In other words, had you assumed that the replacement cycle for the phones meant that in January or in the spring of 2006, you're going to come in here and ask for something on the order of $70 million to replace?
The phone system is part of it. But whether it's specifically in June of 2006, what happens is you have a series of items with life cycles that you then have to combine it. There may have been, in the case of the phones, and I'll specifically call it in that database, there may have been two or three different switches. You've taken all that money that was there for phone switches, and that's been combined, and that's what we go forward with.
So you're saying the previously adopted IRP anticipated this action at more or less this time, at more or less this amount?
We've been having a problem finding capacity for our telephones in the last two parking garages. We've had a very difficult time to provide the emergency telephone. And because we're running out of switch capacity, as they've said, that we knew the time is coming, and we were able to switch and one circuit with the other to open the garage because we had to have an emergency waiting for this action.
I'm not questioning the need for the action. That's what's mean by it. This is a change to overall capital plans where it's just consistent with what we thought we adopted a few years ago. And we put this money in the budget, and this is what we were trying to do.
We looked up. That was exactly my question. The answer is yes. The budget anticipated basically this amount of money for this purpose.
I would note that this is an initiate in a war. So the war takes this action, there's no further review.
If it's within the budget amount, we have a problem in finding
$17 million, right, and then we accept this recommendation or act. Well, the plot they will. We won't see it again. You know, just they'll do it.
The clarification being that what we've seen today is simply we have now defined us protocol and the cost, but not that we have no option there. Vendor piece is broad, and we didn't initially need to go forward and choose from that particular vendor capability. And that one of the costs.
If everything is cutting, if everything goes okay, we don't have to come back before you again. But if we don't have good capacity here, and the vendors don't meet our requirements, or we run above budget, if we have some other things, we come back to you for that. way we do it, we go in this way, then it works, but it goes okay, we can buy it, no problem.
I just have a couple questions. On the title of this item, I'm comfortable that it is budgeted and, you know, you projected the cost of all that, but names ought to mean something, and so maybe we can make sure that this, if this were named something differently, I don't think we'd be asking this question.
Yeah, it's a telephone.
So, you know, let's just make sure the names mean something. On the question of initiating an award, is this what we typically do? I mean, that is a big contract, and I was just wondering if we typically go ahead at this point, having not a lot of definition about what it's going to look like, and we just go ahead and say, do it.
It really isn't a lot to describe for you, and it's a switch. I think you kind of work at this level where it helps you get very, 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 very good at that. The initiated award is something we do sometimes. It's a question if the award is interested in the back before award, but clarify why you chose the award. If there is some value in the award, you see the change. We don't, as a staff, we don't have a problem with it other than the sense that the price of the work is what's going on.
It is a big contract.
That's part of my thought. But it's also the fact that I have a one-page report. That's it. And that doesn't tell me a whole lot about something like $17 million. And so the combination of initiated an award, a funny name on the budget line, there's not much there. That told me I better ask a few questions. So I don't know whether it's appropriate to initiate an award. It might be. But I do feel like it's a pretty big expenditure. I don't know a whole lot other than I don't have any reason to doubt that we need to do something. Mr. Deegan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with the person. We definitely need to do something with the government. I have one question. About a year ago, we actually
as part of the relocation of Silver Spring, there is an allowance in there for upgrade of pitch that is at Kenzie specifically in Silver Spring. That money is not.
That's
from all of this I'm gathering that this phone system is on life support.
What's the useful year?
It's 25 years old. And you anticipate you can get another 5 years out of it, another 3 years, so you got to do it right away.
25 years.
I know it's 25 years, but are you saying we can't get another 3 or 4 years out of this system?
The problem you wind up with is that without hip replacement parts, we have to buy in the aftermarket. You can't get a lot of the pieces anymore from the original manufacturer. The bigger reason that I look at this is it eliminates a single small carrier. High principle. Because if something happens to the main phone switch in the building, it then results in us not having kind of serving several purposes at the same time. And that is one of two systems that has a similar
let's put the planning together. The
design has been completed. The RFP will go out in the next 30 to 60 days with the full evaluation process and work on every purpose. Because of the complexity of the cutover that you have to go through on this, from the
live systems that have been switched, it's going to be a construction area that is 24 hours.
The other key factor here is that the longer we wait, your system gets more complicated and more expensive. And it is in our interest to do something now and get it.
Mr. Chairman, we have more detail. We just didn't know that the committee would want to go into it. We can show information about the purpose and background, some graphs and pictures, if you'd like. Let's pull it up right now. If you're interested in having further dialogue, we're just trying to figure out what level of detail would be interested in. This level you want.
Nice to have you there.
Yeah, but it's always, we're trying very hard to figure out exactly what level of people want to advance. Happy to want a little more to have the information.
One other question. If we were new from this building, what happens to this telephone system?
We have to, if we move the building, I'm not sure
we're building a system where we have a redundant system in common general facility. If we move from this building, and this building can switch, it can be taken and placed somewhere else, or we lose whatever we have in this building. But the new common general facility will have the switch and the capability to be redundant for all of the systems that we have.
But over from one place to the other, you can't just turn one off to get up the system someplace else. You got to do a gradual cut over from one to the other.
But we do have the redundancy of Carmen Turner, so if we put this in a switch in here, we can't use it. Thank you.
Mr. Duff.
A couple things. First, I appreciate this, Chairman, getting to the bottom line on the funding question. Also acknowledge that 25-year-old telephone systems like 1-800. The main concept I have been looking at, sure, it makes functionalities now as most systems that don't have the gadgets made. Then it's a question of functionalities going forward. So my question is, I've been putting a lot of thought into better position of this agency, customer service folks, some of the things that we've talked about, single line service. We want to make certain that this new system gets us a step closer to that single line number to call here, 24/7 for service. The second is the issue of the backup. Got a fair amount of energy to ensure that we have the backup for the train control system. You know, how does this potentially plug and play with a backup for the phone coverage, whether it's a Carmen Turner or somewhere else? And finally, the issue of significant so much of what we're trying to do is also contract about issues of how this new phone system might roll over or connect to contracted systems as they come on board, and we're looking at how that might also interact. Those are three key things for me: single line, backup, and if we can roll over opportunities in contract, have the next chance to look at things like that.
And I think that's the purpose of this effort. First, on the backup, show the slide here that by keeping the same system, we can keep it going probably for a couple more years, and maybe exaggerating a bit by going on to eBay and buying old phone 9004s. But the system that they proposed actually is a hybrid system, has the maximum possibility for interacting with legacy equipment as well as modern equipment. So it has the combination of voice over IP, which is the direction that most people are heading, but aren't all there yet. So we have both the ability to communicate over the new switch with IP as well as the analog. So really, I think it's an excellent time to non-redundant 25-year-old telephone system. If you think about what telephones look like 25 years ago, information systems are used not just for voice, they're used for data transmission as we move forward with things like the bus ADL and distributed computing for I think that's important. This isn't just $17 million for phones in this building. This is $17 million for phones in your office. This allows us to avoid modern level with more modern and with potentially contractors. And at the legacy level, things that we aren't going to bring up.
Does it ask cross-off service to be a single line?
This is
very good. I don't know the technology, but I know the functions are involved in my staff.
Right, this is very useful, again, because of the flexibility. We could have a single number that then could spread across a variety of different terminal workers.
Now it's going to come to the board. Just going to ask Mr. Chairman from the policy perspective. The only slide I feel is missing, I don't want to go back to the five-hour point, but the only slide is just something that says, these are some of the books that you want to retain. The public service is a big system. Out.
I think there may be a misunderstanding, and I didn't know really where that notion came from. I apparently, Mr. Tagliani was under the impression that he wanted less information. I think that may come from the fact that there was some frustration with certain things being put up on PowerPoint slides that weren't on PowerPoint at all. Just, you know, putting a text up in bullets. You don't need to see that. That doesn't mean we want the information about how to present. It doesn't mean I only want to see one slide. I want what I need to understand, give a good answer to the questions. What happens to do it now? The fact that the system you have now isn't even the parts for it, which actually rather than used it for anymore. So I knew that. But it wasn't on the presentation. I mean, if that's the kind of information it's good for us to have, and, well, I can read this thing, you know, you don't want to have a telescope to see what that is for you. And that's mostly a question of how much is presented on a particular slide. But I'd rather have more information than less. People don't like rushing through it. And they can sometimes say, yes, we understand this one's a really good decision and move on. But we do need to have the information in advance, and then we have to go through it in advance. More questions. That part of it you can't skip over things as well. Especially on an item that is nice. Multi-year, multi-million dollar purchase. The request is to forward a recommendation for approval to the board. Is there a motion?
Move approval.
Mr. Dean, second to further discussion. Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye. Opposed? Motion now of information items, suggest no objection to take B before A, because we have people here for that. And that's on the IC peer review findings. I believe this came out of them 6 months ago now or so. We had a discussion in this committee on some of these issues and suggested, I mean, you're wrong on the timing, but I remember the discussion in which we said, why don't we hear what some other folks in the jurisdiction have expertise on, find out what they can tell us, and reach out to them. That's what happened, and we have a panel here that's going to give us their findings.
Let me start off real quickly. It's shortly after I got here, following up on the request from the board, former colleague of mine in D.C. asked if she could help us establish a regional CIO peer review of our IT systems here. But one of the things I heard concern expressed by the board is I got here for some issues, everything from having worked perfect on the computers to concerns about slowness of data transmission. And while we've had a very successful IDRE program, we wanted to make sure that we had what we needed to support a growing board. So I asked Suzanne if she could help reach out through COG to some of our regional participants. She's here with Allison Morgan, on the Gibson County, talk a little bit about what they found on these standards.
Thanks so much, Dan. And I'm very glad to be here with all the board members. As are my very good friend and colleague, Allison Moore, who is currently the CIO of Montgomery County, Maryland, but who previously was the CIO for the state of Maryland, and previous to that was the CIO for MDOT, and Juan Gibson, who is currently the CIO for Fairfax County, Virginia, but was previously the CIO for Arlington, Virginia, and previous to that was the executive director of IT for Howard University. And so
we're still plotting our revenge.
I am the CIO for the District of Columbia, but I'm a 35-year Fairfax County resident, 17 of those in Springfield, Virginia, and then 17 in McLean, Virginia. So I think among the three of us, we really have quite an urban view of the metropolitan Washington area. And as I said, Allison and Wanda and I are not only great colleagues, but great friends and great long-term friends as well. So when we took on the drop, this peer review, it really was a hot tub of individuals who had IT folks, IT leadership are really lemons to the state. We all really moved in more or less the same direction in more or less the same time. And so when we give you our findings and recommendations today, the very first thing that I'm going to say, you know, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you, and then I'll tell you, and then I'll follow up with that, is that IT is absolutely key to your success, and aligning IT is absolutely to your business processes is absolutely key to your success. That we all agree, all of us on the peer review committee, Rod and the three external peer reviewers all agree as to where WMATA is, where WMATA needs to go, and we also will tell you that you are well on your way to where you need to be. But what we would like to do today is to give you a very precise, simple picture, easily understandable, as to what that whole complex IT thing is and where you are in status of each of the elements of IT, so it's easily understandable when anything is brought to you. There will be a place for you to put everything and understand, I see exactly why we're doing these kinds of things. So we really have, in a very simple way, looked at IT as a pyramid of capabilities. And we began doing this 8 years ago in the District of Columbia. So this, Mr. Chairman, hopefully is exactly what you say. Don't fear to tell us but tell us in a way that still is easily understandable from to us. And so what we have done in terms of a total IT pyramid capability is say to you, IT only comes in four levels of things to be done. At the very base level, you simply have to first deal in IT with planning, IT management, and IT business infrastructure. And what you see then at the very bottom of the chart in terms of goal one is just that. You can't do anything if you don't got the guys, if they don't have the management structure, and if you don't have the business infrastructures laid up to do IT business. So you need to have that very base level, and it needs to have been organized before you move on to the other three levels. The most core IT level is the IT level that is the level of data access, and is the level of telephony, and is the level of network. That is, you've got to get, even before you write your first application, you not only have to have all your management in place, you have to have all the infrastructure that allows data to get around the entire enterprise in place. So at that second goal level, what we put in place is all of the data access, all of the telephony, and all of the network aspects that you will ever have to do in IT. And you can put this pyramid, by the way, in your pocket, stick it in your pocket, and nobody in IT does anything that isn't on this pyramid. Once you have your management in place, once you have your basic transport of data infrastructure in place, now you're ready to write your applications and to build your applications. And the third level is the level that shows you all of the applications of WMATA. And WMATA has specific WMATA functional applications. There's only two kinds of applications. You got your enterprise's functional applications, yours are rails and buses and transportation kinds of applications, and you've got administrative applications. You don't share the functional ones with other enterprises. Every enterprise has the administrative applications, and you have your own particular functional application. But those are the two things that lay up at the applications level.
So administrative, you're talking things like payroll.
Payroll, personnel, fixed assets, legal, procurement, all of those kinds of administrative central
somewhat
services.
Generic.
Yes. All generic to every enterprise. Yes.
And you, the buses, running your rails.
Is on the other side. That's on the functional side, which is what you do specifically. So you've got two kinds of applications. Once you have all your management in place, you have all your ability for your data to transport around in place, you have all of your applications in place, now you begin doing the most sophisticated things that an enterprise can do. And that is, you begin the enterprise-wide activities. That is, those things that require multiple departments, multiple parts of your agencies, reaching out all over, very tactically over your agency to get data and to combine and permutate that data. So the most sophisticated things you do in data processing and IT, you do at that fourth level. That's the pyramid. The red, yellow, and green lays out for you exactly where you, WMATA, are right now on each of those activities, and leads to one of only two things that we're going to tell you today. So let's look at the visual. Red says you still need basically to implement these things. Yellow says you are in process, and often well in process, of implementing these things. And green says, and this is all specifically for WMATA now, green says on these charts, you are best practice on these activities. So you can see just visually, I think, in this very simple pyramid way, one of the two things we'll tell you today. One of the two things we will tell you today is that you are doing some very, very sophisticated IT things, because you can see the green up at level four. But you are resting on an infrastructure, a business infrastructure and a data transportation infrastructure that is not yet where it needs to be. And so if you are going to continue on filling in the whole pyramid, and being as sophisticated as you are in building some of the systems that you have, you're going to have to go back down to those core infrastructure levels, and you have got a substantial number of lines to fill in.
Let me see if I understand. Green areas are things where you say basically we're doing great stuff. Yellow, you have things ongoing. It may not be there yet, but you see the work done. But red areas are areas in which we don't have all of
them. Exactly.
And if it builds this way, or should build this way, if it describes the way you described it, then you think you'd see an organization. First, that's a green at the bottom, and then you have yellow, and then red, you know, in this direction. And we got it in this direction.
The District of Columbia, 8 years ago, and that's precisely right. The District of Columbia, 8 years ago, had the opportunity. We were virtually, and we say it now with pride because we are among the best, but 8 years ago, we were virtually the worst IT enterprise, public enterprise in the nation. That was actually an advantage to us for the reason, on some dimensions, for the reason that you just said, was that you could actually begin at the bottom and you could bring those layers up. Now, you can't do all of layer one before you do all of layer two. You've got to be working some on each. But the pig is in the python act, just as you say, first the lowest level, then the next level, then the next level. And you come up spending the bulk of your money first at the first level, and then at the second, then at the third, and the fourth. However, you have to be spending some of your money on each of the levels from the very beginning, because you can't arrive at the most sophisticated level and not have begun it. And so we had that advantage. You are in process as we find you. And as I say, Rod finally will tell you today, not only do we all agree what things need to be done, that's what I'll show you next, but he has many of those already in process. But I think this is a bit, you know, if we take the whole complexity of IT and we reduce it for you to a structure that I think is understandable and allows you to take in the entire conversation, I think that this probably does it for you. It says exactly what you just said. Begin at the beginning, work up. You can't do it 100%, but this is where you find yourself today. So the next 5 minutes I'm going to spend showing you how you fill in the blank for level one, you fill in the blanks for level two, and I'm going to tell you that essentially all the work that we are calling short-term, mid-term, and long-term work, which probably gets you out 2 to 3 years, you will not be surprised when we complete to find that all of those activities are essentially going to be in layers one and two. You're going to go back to the bottom and fill in the bottom so that you can re-arrive at the top. At the same time, I want you to know that we believe you have done very, very much good work in terms of, at the top, in terms of implementing systems. So there is lots and lots of good that you've done, and there is lots and lots still to come back around at and to see.
The blue circle is the next part?
Yes. And so in terms of the short term, stick that up for one second. And so if you look at the blue circles, the two goods, we are going to now take you through very quickly and in a non-technical way, essentially, the first projects that you do, because you're building a house again. You got all the stuff to do, but there's a place you have to start at. So we're saying you're going to start then at these bottom levels. And
the high priority ones here today.
These are the short-term high priority ones, and they get at these levels. And you'll notice they're all in the reds, and they're all in the reds and the yellow. So if you go to your, if you'd like to follow along, if you go to your books, you can follow along. I also have the chart here, because now I'm going to take you in text through those elements that are in blue. So short term, what things do you need to do short term? Remember I told you, we're only going to tell you two things today. We're going to tell you fill in the blanks of those technology things that are core but are not yet fully there. The second thing we're going to tell you is to enhance your CIO's authority. The reality of IT is that you must have the same kind, today, you must have the same kind of alignment with IT that you have with your CFO. You've got a financial alignment and you wouldn't think of having your CFO not on the hip of your general manager. The leveraging effect of IT is such that your IT person simply has to be on the hip of your senior executive. Currently, the CIO in WMATA has no global view, no enterprise view of IT purchases. He currently has no authority to review global budgets in IT, to coordinate global operations in IT, to evaluate IT plans across the enterprise, or to overhaul the fragmented IT system that you have today. He needs to have all of those capacities. So we are recommending that the CIO be made a member of the WMATA Executive Committee. He needs to be a member of the executive team, needs to report to the general manager, and there needs to be an approval cycle through the CIO for IT budget items. In the District of Columbia, no IT purchase over $25,000 does not come forward to the CIO. The process is not lengthy, the process is not horrible, but it says that someone who is spending large, very substantial amounts of the enterprise's money, and who has the expertise and knowledge to opine on it, is looking at it. Secondarily to that, goes always an IT investment board. In point of fact, you have already established, or Rob's already established, an IT investment board. He serves as the chair. The board has all of the principal general management deputies of WMATA, and the CFO serves as well. The IT investment board simply prioritizes the same kind of things that I just watched you do earlier today. It prioritizes the IT spend, and it is dependent on something that will come further down, a strategic plan and a business plan. The IT not, you currently, your servers are currently in the basement of this basement, or downstairs in the basement. They are not consolidated. You can come back up out in Landover. And you have no way to monitor your systems. You've bought some packages that do monitor systems, but they are not installed, and nor are they alarmed to tell you when those systems are down or when your networks are down. You need to put that in place. Your data centers need to be consolidated. You're moving off of your AIX. You're moving off of your mainframes in the next 2 years. Currently, your rail and those two sets of application systems that I told you, your rail transportation systems and your administrative systems do not speak to each other, are not on the same platforms, are not on the same operating system. All of that needs to be taken care of. In the same way that much that you do, I would say virtually all that you do, and this is just a maturity place in the enterprise, where virtually all you do is vertically stovepiped. Your security is vertically stovepiped. So you've got lots of different operations and lots of different people looking at security, but just as the CIO needs to look across the whole enterprise, you need to have a security executive looking across the whole enterprise, and we propose that. And of course, in IT, as in every other element, you're doing it right now with Dan having some initial wins with a new general manager. You need to have the same kinds of initial wins with IT. The strat plan will identify those initial wins for you, and some that you've had recently that we heard when we did the review was that you've got about 3/4 now of all of your operational locations now have preventive maintenance, have supply chain management, have inventory management. You're putting in inventory systems, you're putting in fixed asset systems, you're putting in a new, coming as a new warehouse control system. All those things are very early wins for you that you can choose, and those early wins walk you into the mid-range activities and then to the long-term activities. In terms of midterm, and again, there's you now see again, you see the slight blue are the ones are the activities we just talked about, and the heavier blue lines are the midterm activities that we're suggesting to you. But again, what you can see is all of these activities are then in the reds and the yellows of the foundation level of IT. So there, and I've brought up a few show and tells for this as I go along. Can't do anything without a strategic plan. So this is the kind that Rod will is on track to give you a strategic plan at, and a financial plan with the strategic plan in September. And this is what a typical strategic plan looks like. This is the Columbia's 205 to 208 plan. You need to have a project program management office so that all of your IT initiatives are monitored, and they are monitored against products, project standards. This is the kind of thing that we do in project management in the district and the EPA for set up a complete project program management office is September of this year. The enterprise, if you're going to look now across the enterprise, then you need to have an IT enterprise architect, and you need to have a chief architect. Today, you have designated a temporary interim architect and are on your way to that architect and are in the beginning stages of an architectural review board. This, in the District of Columbia, is the book that holds all of our architectural standards and our product standards. Concept of operation is extraordinarily important in IT. Concept of operation that so often, and it is true of WMATA right now, in WMATA right now, systems are driving the business rather than business driving the system. And that's because IT tends to step out ahead of the business. But the real way that life should work is that you should begin with a business architecture. The business architecture should cascade to an information architecture, which cascades to an applications architecture, which cascades to a technology architecture. Technology is way down on the bottom. So you've got to back up and get yourself a business architecture. And again, that is in process. IT product standards, you need a whole set of IT product standards. They need to be written down, and they need to be consistent across the enterprise. There's no way you're going to have an efficient operation. There's no way you're going to operate globally across the organization unless everybody's buying the same thing. And they'll buy it much more easily if it's written down what they should buy and if your CIO has the authority to make sure that only those products are bought. Supportive PCs in every major enterprise in the nation now is done centrally. You have, right now, you're spending about $500,000 a year out of Rod's organization. You're spending about another $2 million a year in to support PCs, and you're spending about another $2 million a year in your various agencies and little pats of butter stuffed into your various departments to support those PCs. Everyone else on the planet has one central, the term of art is seat management, has one central seat management operation. You need to get there too. In terms of managed services, it's also quite good for you to be looking at what activities external providers, external vendors can yield up to you that are even more efficient than you could do. And I know some of the things that Rod is looking at in terms of managed services are seat management and network management. And so you'll continue to look at those. We're now sliding home to the, always give your audience hope. This is the last of the slides. This is the long-term stuff, okay? And again, oh look, it's all because now again, the heavy blue here is the long-term stuff, and I've put the the short and medium in a lighter ring. But again, you can see we're sticking right here. That's where you have to do your work. So what kinds of things in long term? And long term simply means 2 or 3 years, which is a lifetime in technology. So in long term, we are suggesting an enhancement of your personnel and skill sets. And as Rod said to Allison and Wanda and me, this is a huge issue. Your skills in PeopleSoft, in IBM, in AIX, in networking, all of those need to be extended. Because of that, we absolutely recommend you're going to have some consultants for a few years. But if you hear your IT people coming in the next year saying, we need to have consultants, they really do need to have consultants. But those consultants should be consultants who eventually roll over and become your FTEs. It's not consultants for their expertise, suck you dry, and leave. It's consultants who come, understand you, and whose contracts from the get-go are that in the end, they'll roll over and become WMATA employees. But it will be necessary. We have in the, when I came to the district 8 years ago, we had no agency CIOs. We had 80 city agencies and no agency CIOs. We began a program of certification that followed the Federal Clinton Cohen program for certification, and now have in the principal 15, the 15 largest agencies in the district, who are 80% of the district, certified CIOs to the federal model. And the difference in having those certified personnel who are real agency CIOs is an enormous difference. I know Rod has those same kinds of personnel enhancement plans for a whole set of functions planned, and we applaud those. IT budget planning, my 8 year experience in the district is this, and you should always be aware of this, and I know in your own enterprises probably are already aware of this. When you give enterprises like WMATA substantial money to develop and implement systems for the first time, and essentially this is what we are recommending to you, is that these things that don't exist need to be funded to exist. You will give out capital money for those functions, those initiatives to be put into place. But you'll come to it, but you should begin asking very early, tell us how much operational money you're going to need after those systems are in. I'm sure it's something you deal with all the time. The logical repercussions of capital spend is operational expense. And the exact same thing happens in IT. And so the budget planning, and not just the capital budget planning during the early phases, but the operational planning in the outer item. You currently, and again, enterprises at your level of maturity, this is very typical, and so I'll give you the case of GIS. In GIS, every one of your projects builds its own GIS maps. And so our recommendation, and you're coming at a very good point in the maturity of the city of Washington, our recommendation is that you have one central set of GIS capabilities for WMATA. And the happy circumstance is that simultaneously to WMATA's needing this, the National Capital Region and all of the UAC and federal activities have needed the same kind of centralized map. And so we believe you can hook right into, and I put a slide over there on the left, we believe you can hook right into the NCR activities that we're doing into the Maryland, Virginia, and district activities. And we are right now already converging on a central set of GIS map layers and a central set, a central GIS map initiative that you will be able, I think, to slip right into. You're certainly fully aware of the modernization of the BDA enhancement and alarming in the tunnels. We believe that should go on. And then someone asked about this, the what Rod calls the holy grail of IT. When you hemorrhage the complexity of IT to the most sophisticated level these days, you get something our turn of our service-oriented architecture, SOA. SOA is something it would be like an engineer trying to explain all the complexities of engineering to me, and I would just glaze over. So I will say to you that SOA is the facility that allows any data anywhere to be very, very, very efficiently available to anyone in the business system who needs it. And what I did in the district so that our business people would understand this, because you simply say SOA and the glaze over occurs immediately, was we built the box. And the box really is a very understandable, easy explanation of what all that very complex architecture is. And so I simply whisk the box in front of you, and if anyone has any interest in understanding what service-oriented architecture is, it takes about 3 minutes because the box layers slide out, and it's quite fun and Lego-like, and easily understood. So if anyone would like to see what that is for, delighted to show you. So now we have hemorrhaged up to the very final slide, which is everything that we recommend. But everything that we recommend is now right there, and what you can see is you've done lots and lots of work on many sophisticated levels, but what you're doing is what your next task is, and your task for the next 2 or 3 years is you're going to get back down to the bottom, and you've got to get those interest, those management, planning, management, business infrastructure levels, and you've got to get the telephony, network, and data access level filled in so that you can continue on with the more sophisticated level. And the good news is that as we put this all together, Rod, more often than not, on every element, and you've heard me say it as I speak, said, oh yes, we've got that begun, we've got that started, we've got a plan for that, we're in process of delivering that now. So happily, the two messages today, one, get your CIO on the hip of the general manager so that the same kind of advice and counsel that your CFO gives to him can be given to him by IT, which is one of the most extraordinary, necessary leveragers of everything you're going to do in the business. That's thing A. And thing B, get down to those bottom levels of infrastructure and fill in the blanks. So the happy thing that Rod is going to tell you is where he is already. He's already, his train has left the station. He's already getting many, many of these things in the place of his seat.
Thank you, Suzanne, I think. Before I start, I'd like to ask a couple of very, very active participants. So this occurred, by the way, in early February, and was followed up by a more detailed report.
I'll start. My name's Allison Warren. I'm the reasons. It's power or responsibility, but it's simply more efficient for the organization. You can get systems to talk to each other. Suzanne laid out things today. It's not new. Every single organization that I've ever worked at is use of them now has been access to agencies. Also with, as far as it is concerned, huge effort wasn't easy. It is still in place. So we've got eight figures.
I wanted to give some perfect counties, CTO and CIO, and we actually combined those roles, and we have a similar organizational structure whereby we sit at the top with the senior management. We also have established two levels, actually three levels of management oversight for our whole IT investment posture. We have an internal committee that reports to the county executive, of the senior deputy county executives, as well as the director of management and budget, which is a very essential person to be involved with the overall planning process and approval for investment portfolio process. We also have, however, board-appointed committees. You have a committee of citizens appointed by the board. They are professionals in the IT industry. And they basically work with us in terms of our future visions and making sure that we're testing ourselves against best practices out there in industry, as well as the board itself has a subcommittee for technology, which also gets a better, more thorough, you know, view in terms of some of the major initiatives that we actually have in our portfolio. And just a slight shout out for, like, you know, my understanding of the region, for my D.C. and Prince George's County colleagues, I actually am a citizen of both those places, as well as my professional affiliations in Virginia.
Oh.
Yes, I am. And yes, you may. And also, though I use the system, I among my colleagues, I've ridden the buses. I probably know every route there is in the buses. I have ridden the metro system, and it's a quite wonderful system, and it gets people where they need to go. So, you know, doing all that, though, in county government, we have, like, a number of businesses. So we have about, you know, 55-plus agencies, so you can see that the challenge is greater, and recognize we need to leverage and have this foundational piece whereby you have a strategic approach to planning and you have leadership. Those are the two key pieces that you can build on in terms of your decisions. It also allows you to leverage your investments, because obviously IT comes across the big ticket item. There was earlier discussion about a big ticket item. Okay, and these are the kinds of things that you want to leverage, because as these technologies start merging and blending, you want to have a holistic view and not duplicate the same kinds of investments, and you want to posture and set yourself up to be able to quickly put into place those business systems that are essential without having to go back and revisit the foundational infrastructure to support those types of requirements. So with that, you know, I just thought I'd add a few additional perspectives on you know, what we looked at when we participated with Dan Ross.
Will this be turned into like a formal report with no recommendation?
Yeah, that's about what I'm about to talk about. Turn to the next page and stuff. Go to the last page. But the next steps is I have already started a strategic and when I say strategic and business plan, it's going to be a strategic plan. We'll have a business plan 3 to 5 years that will lay out. Here's the staffing, here's the structure that we need to put stuff, here's the funding you need to achieve a set goal at the end of 3 years. What I'm trying to do is give the board an idea of as we come forward, the board says, okay, you can have this amount of money each year for the next 3 years, let's say. This is what I will deliver for that. I will report to you on a regular basis and tell you. So it doesn't appear as if these are disconnected events. And as Suzanne pointed out, my orientation is using that chart. Every time I talk from now on, I'm going to go back to the chart. You'll be able to track how we're doing. The red's turned to yellow, it's turned to green, and you get to a completely integrated enterprise-wide system, which is where you need to be. The other major feature of this is that historically at WMATA, the IT department has been really kind of a backwater and has not played nearly to the extent that they should in the business strategy of the company and leveraging IT investments to improve the business. And that is going to be one of the major elements of the restructuring of ITSP, is putting the IT department and the business people together so we're allies and are working together to achieve a common goal, rather than, I do have to tell you the story, CIO Maggie, the May issue had a big cover-up on the federal government, and highly uncomplimentary, talking about the Cohen Act, as a matter of fact. But they actually, right at the beginning of the article, CIO of the U.S. Department of Transportation was retiring, and one of the deputy secretaries had a little function for him, and what he said was, you did a terrific job, and Secretary Mineta really appreciated how fast you were able to fix the black thing. Of course, the comment was, this is the way USDOT looks at their technology department. They looked at their technology department, and you just fixed BlackBerries, they got a serious problem. They have a, they're totally divorced from actually using technology to leverage the process to drive the organization. So what we propose to do is using this wonderful work that Rand and Allison and Wanda have done for us. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate this. I was awestruck by the knowledge and the experience and their willingness to spend their time to give us a hand here. But I propose to come back in September with a plan for you to consider for how we can optimize and maximally leverage the investments we've made. Let me give you just one final statistic. Over the last 5 years, in WMATA and our regional partners, this agency, directly or indirectly, has allocated over $200 million for technology projects. $200 million. And now what we need to do is we need to put in place the other steps that Savannah capably described to you so that we can take maximum advantage and optimize all of the things that we have in front of us. The unique opportunity, I think, in the history of this agency actually to be able to do this in the time of now.
Thank you.
Chairman, just to remind the board, the Vermonters budget by year, we have $25 million in the IG capital business. And also, you need to be aware that the IG has been posting some of the people and start to realize the benefits. But the more just historical reasons, we didn't have an IG plan when we built the system. As late as a month ago, I was in a market to go to the States and make it. But I don't have a computer. That's what we know about. Later, we provided a computer. We provided a circuit back from budget project to build the station the General Market was building. That time now, we do it in a more systematic way.
I had never heard the term 25 million before. 25 million to lay in all of these infrastructures, I think, is not going to be sufficient. I don't know what the number is. I will tell you, in the district where we had nothing, literally nothing, no technology at all, over an 8-year period, we have spent about a quarter of the federal, we have spent about $750 million of capital funds to lay in what is acknowledgedly now best practice on virtually every technology dimension. But we had the great advantage of being the 911, where we are the responders, we are the emergency responders for the federal government, so we were happened to have a special franchise of belovedness by Congress, and as I said, achieved much of federal funding, and happily we're at a place in these 8 years, as the council member knows, where there were capital funds available. Those capital funds now have many different needs that they did not have when we began. So even we couldn't get that kind of money anymore. But I can give you the two ends of the bell curve. 25 million would be one end of the bell curve, not enough. 750 million over 8 years or about $100 million a year is an extremely generous solution of nothing amount, and somewhere in the middle of that is the manager's
engine. That's a wide range.
I need to ask you, there are projects like ATC and power systems replacement that include investments in infrastructure like the switch we just talked about that are on top of the second. So we need to do is come back in September as part of our strategic plan and our business plan and lay out what sort of investments are for the resources we already have. Perhaps the ones we need to get more information and make those choices in a way that I also believe
I think that, of course, we have a special place in the hearts of members of Congress as well. I think that, that I'm not sure how much hope we have there. But when you come back with this in September as well, I think the other thing that is laid out in the presentation is that we really need to quantify and understand is this notion of consultants becoming FTEs and what that means.
Absolutely. This is a very, very critical need. We have skill sets that we badly need to buy power from consultants. We need to take a look at our salary structure. I agree with that. So I'm focused right now. I feel like many days I'm juggling chainsaws.
Yeah, I just wanted to add, sometimes these numbers, they just sound astronomical, but even starting with Supervisor Zimmerman and with Dana and with Kathy, noticing having these investments up front actually facilitate the governments to be able to become more nimble and more flexible and actually do more with less. So it's absolutely an investment approach, which is very, very key to be able to handle things like downturn in the economy later on, where you can actually achieve these economies of scale, leverage your total cost of ownership, and actually provide additional services with the means that you have for your public mission.
Thanks on that. The other thing that I've experienced when you go into an organization, line item in the budget policy, there's other monies that are spent on technology that aren't necessarily in the purview of the CIO, and you really need to take a look at that. Whenever I go into an organization, and sometimes it's under, sometimes it's over. You're looking at all the our budget is always asking for more money. They're asking for money to keep the project.
I just want to just piggyback. I would say probably your percentage of the overall investment to your total budget should be more in the range of like 4 to 6% because you're heavy on infrastructure action. And then you have to have a life cycle plan, which you don't get into like the 25-year mark when you're now kind of like, you know, trying to decide whether to replace something. Establishing these good foundational technologies will actually allow you to do smaller than refreshes, and then you don't have to look at those things, which are now not really new capital investments, they're kind of part of your business. Then you can use those kinds of opportunities for your actual business, you know, expansions and other kinds of things like that.
Thank you.
Chip,
want to say that this is very clear. I like the structure that we see here because it really does help us to understand where we are, where we need to go, shows very clearly what our weaknesses are. And we can relate to these too because we're aware of some of these. So I just really wanted to thank the team for the work that we've done. And I particularly appreciate the graphics because it's nice to see it. And it will be useful as we go forward to know exactly where a piece of where an action we're being asked to take fits with this structure. So,
yeah, I apologize for coming on the tail end of this, but it is kind of exciting. But maybe you've looked at it, maybe you didn't, but in the IT world, the arena, I think it's also helpful when opportunities avail themselves to partner other outside agencies or organizations, such as, for instance, just sit now, I think we do an awful lot together in the IT area, particularly in public safety, so that we're not replicating duplicated services and communication systems and so forth, and so on, moving the backup system for payroll processing, those kinds. And so I would like to think that WMATA as an agency can benefit with certain types of businesses, lines of businesses and services that it too can also collaborate, partner with for an District of Columbia, or maybe the other regional bus systems to help them because they're struggling. Then this is trying to survive the school.
It's our intention that Wanda, Allison, and Dan are not going to get away. We're simply going to have done some work and come in before you know that we're going to do whatever we can to leverage whatever investment. But $750 million is a lot of leverage.
I'd also like to say, and I'm chair of the Metro CIOs for this year, and I believe next year it turns to Allison, and the Metro CIO is a member of that group, and that's where a lot of best practices sharing occurs. We also do work on the regional working group for interoperability, and so we're already sharing and assisting WMATA with some of those types of projects.
One of the advantages that Dan has is because he knows all of us, he knows the work that we're doing. He is such an elegant executive that he is fearless to make the call to ask for help. And he knows where we're doing things. He's already asked the three of us for all of our GIS activities. He is investigating backbone telephony activities with us. There are many of the pieces of work that we have done, especially in the what you referred to, Mr. Chairman, as the generic areas, are going to come right over to WMATA full blown from the free state.
I thought I'd just conclude one piece I thought that this has been very important to us, and that was really having a citizen business involvement here, and that ability to call upon level of expertise that contributed to the most convincing part of us to make the kind of expenditures that we made when we shifted. And I think it's not one we should overlook in the opportunity. We may get affected in a larger CIO feedback or relationship that we did, but it was really critical in making sense and it had credibility and with our board.
Ms. B.
Just quite briefly say how happy I am to have you here with you. The IT situation since I've got here has been a big concern of mine. It's the cost that monitors them from software and
not a lot of things to do.
Thank you very much, Chairman. I just want to commend all of you for your joining the residents. No. But anyway, we're delighted this gift to be Miss Moore, and of course I feel like I'm back in Pennsylvania.
Has your mother, has your sister? He knows what I mean.
Don't make me laugh this hard, it's not fair. But anyway, and of course I distinguish a chief technology officer. It's also very nice always to have the experience of people coming before this board as volunteers, which is not an experience that we have on every occasion. And have such expertise to boot. So it's really made a difference. And I just want to conclude by saying that perhaps this could be a model for other contributions from our jurisdiction in terms of areas. Areas that we need help with. This is small, and I want to commend you, Mr. Tangarini, for your leadership once again. And
I guess it's a problem as we're scheduled for September. The only other item, we had an information item on essential garages. And I'm wondering whether it's essential to do that. I should say yard.
Mr. Chairman, it's
an information, not an action item.
It's an information item. It's your largest investment going right now. Side of rail cars, it's the 3 yards to cut out the construction, and your practice has been to receive an annual and semi-annual update.
Which we should do, but I'm thinking we have another committee, and it's 11:25, which should be scheduled. But there's no objection, so we'll carry this over. Allow the next committee to meet. Who is the chair? I believe that that would be all we'd have for this committee, but we have a meeting following on the administrative, board policy, legislative, and administration committee. And I would imagine that the chair would want to go right into that.
Thank you.
So, thank you very much. This committee is adjourned.